We're in a box right now.
Oh, this room's not terrible.
We used to have a mattress on that wall.
True, we should bring back the mattress.
Which made setting up this table a lot harder.
True.
We had to dodge that table.
But hey, we have a padded... I can't even talk. We have a padded headboard now on that bed. So it took the place of the mattress. Actually, when we installed
that, I was like, oh man, this is going to make it so much better. No.
It didn't make it worse, though. I mean...
I doubt it did. I don't think I'd see how it could make it worse.
Just pad the closet doors. Or just build a studio. Just build another little shed like what Dad has out there.
With all the money that this podcast is bringing in, let's just build a studio. You know, your tea really shouldn't be on the table.
Well, where else am I supposed to put it? Over there is going to be too far for me to grab it, and I'm going to have to lean back in my chair or get out of my chair to get the tea every time. So as long as you don't kick or punch the table, we'll be all right.
I was just going to say, that wasn't the last time I was going to bump the table, but okay.
Well, it's not super full, so as long as you're not, like, trying to send a massive earthquake.
Wolf it down.
It's hot, I can't.
Okay, well.
Why is Iron Man on the table?
We'll get to that later. Okay. There's always a reason that whatever's on the table is on the table, okay? So we'll get to it.
Okay, well then don't question my tea being on the table.
Well, do you have a reason?
Yes, I'm drinking it.
Okay.
To clarify for our audience.
So, we found Aaron.
Yes,
he's not here.
He's also not dead.
Yeah. Well, that actually might be a dated comment. Because we don't know when we're going to release this, so.
True, okay.
Anyways.
Disclaimer. At the time of this recording, to the best of our knowledge, Aaron is not dead.
No. And we have had unstable communications with him. But we have talked to him. So.
Yes.
Hopefully he'll be on the, whichever one we do next. We could do some Star Wars. Would be the plan.
Whatever.
Today, we're going to talk about X-Men Origins, because we finally decided we should do a movie that
we have.
Yeah, that isn't a shot in the dark, because so far every movie's been a shot in the dark, basically.
True that.
Except for Mission Impossible 6, that was kind of...
Well, it wasn't... I hadn't seen it before. Wilco hadn't seen it, so it was sort of a shot in the dark.
But it was a Mission Impossible movie.
So. I mean, yeah, but it was a movie that... two people hadn't seen, so.
But compared to everything else that we've done leading up to that.
Okay, sure. Compared to, like, Velvet Buzzsaw or
right,
something.
And
yeah.
The Silence. So, yeah. I guess you could say The Thing was not a shot in the dark at all, because that's a respected classic of the science fiction genre. So,
I thought by shot in the dark, you just meant that, like, we didn't know how we were going to feel about a movie.
That, too.
Versus reviewing something or talking about something that you already are familiar with, you've seen it all the way through, and you already know your thoughts on it.
Really, what I meant was movies that we just didn't have any thoughts about. Like, we didn't know if it was going to be a good movie or a bad movie. And we did, you know, quite a few bad movies. So, The Thing, though, is, like I was saying, respected classic of the past.
Respect.
As opposed to respected classics of
comment
the present.
F to pay respects.
So, I don't do. Anyways.
If you follow more meme pages.
Yeah, no. No.
You
and Josh
know.
Can, you know where you can stick your meme pages. Anyways. So.
On Instagram for everyone to see.
So, we're going to be talking about
X-Men
Origins.
Speaking of which, follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, right. At L2E Podcast.
I'm pretty sure that we have like 3 followers right now, and it's the people that are in the podcast.
No, Aaron is not. Aaron doesn't do Instagram, so.
He is following it, though.
He is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Because when you created it, we were all together. So he followed it.
Yeah, I thought he was like completely off of Instagram.
No,
like
he
had a username
on
there.
He has an Instagram.
But, yeah.
I don't think he ever uses it or checks it, but he is technically following the page.
Okay. All right.
So.
Whatever.
Anyway, so, I digress.
You do digress. Too much.
Hold up.
Okay. Go for the cast. I know. I'm just going
to
say Gavin Hood.
Do we want to introduce ourselves and like...
No, we do that before the theme song. Just... go through the characters.
We have no spot to put in the theme song right now.
I know. Go through some of the
characters. You want me to do this first?
Yeah,
okay.
Calm down. I'm in charge.
So, X-Men Origins starring
Will-I-Am.
Wait,
directed by Gavin Hood.
Oh.
Starring, you start with Will-I-Am.
Starring
Will-I-Am. Hey, this
Will
is
his
first movie, by the way.
Lynn Collins.
What?
Danny Houston. Tim Pocock. Troy Sivan, Ryan Reynolds.
And that's it. Go with the theme song.
That's it. No, starring Hugh Jackman as
there
the Wolverine. And, oh man, hopefully I'm going to say his name right. Liev Schreiber. Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth. So we were right about that. And then, yeah, Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool. Danny Houston is Stryker. Will.i.am is John Wraith. Kevin Durant is Blob.
Mm-hmm.
and Lynn Collins is Silver Fox, and that, oh, and Taylor Kitsch is Gambit. Those are probably the only ones that are really important to mention. So, yeah.
Excuse me?
Wait, who are you forgetting? Oh, Dominic Monaghan. Oh, yeah.
Dominic Monaghan.
I was like, I thought I got everybody.
Man, I love him so much.
As Chris Bradley. Didn't realize terrible he had name. A name.
As Circus Freak.
Yeah, as Lightbulb Man.
Okay. I'm Nate.
To quote Wilco from last time, if you want to sponsor light bulbs,
hit us up.
Hit us up. Oh, yeah, I'm Karina.
Yeah, you are. Theme song.
And go with the theme song. Okay. To quote Gus.
And we're back.
Perfect. Nailed it.
I got the I heard
you're
it.
You're lucky I didn't spit tea all over your microphone.
Oh, that's why there's a pop filter.
For it's soda. It's not a tea filter.
For soda. Yeah, so X-Men Oranges is what we're going to talk about. So you started the cast with Will.i.am, which I don't respect, but I do acknowledge
I wanted to
that
make it
that.
As uncomfortable as possible.
This was Will.i.am's debut film, actually.
He should have stuck to making music.
Well, I'm not sure he's actually been in any of the movies. Pull him up real quick there and see if he's been in any of the movies, because I know this was his first film.
All right. Movies. Quite a few. Oh, more than, or I guess I should say, sad. More than I expected. So X-Men Origins, Rio, Madagascar 2, Rio 2, Arthur and the Great, wait. Arthur and the Great Adventurers or something. That's Freedom so Riders, Sesame Street.
So he does a lot of
East
voices.
East LA Interchange, Julie and the Cadillacs. Okay. Also, he has a TV shows page. Hang on. I'm going to check that. A lot of The Voice and some show called The Defiant Ones. That's from 2017.
I feel
so
like
that's
voice
recent,
acting's easier.
And The Cleveland Show.
I always wanted to get into voice acting because it's like half acting. It's like not even, I don't want to diminish people that do, because there are like really, really good voice actors out there, but I feel like it's just hand, like,
well, sure, lazier. It's not the same level of, it's not, it doesn't ask it's as not, much of you because you aren't being filmed.
There's a lot less.
So you only have to be expressive with your voice. You don't have to express things.
It's
physically.
One-dimensional. It's one-dimensional.
Yeah, it's one-dimensional. But I think that there is a lot to be said for people who are genuinely good voice actors, because there are some people who are good at it, and there are some people that are just kind of mediocre. And the people who are good at it do, like, you see the behind-the-scenes footage of those people that they film them in the studio, and they do get into it, and they are kind of acting it out as they go, and those are the people who are really great at it, is they're so immersed in the scene that even though they aren't filming with other people, they aren't really filming at all, they're just recording, they treat it like they're filming to a certain extent. So I think that there is, like, I don't know how...
I think part of the reason for that is because a lot of people who are voice actors are also actors.
That's true.
So I think a lot of the big names in voice acting are also people who are actors.
That's true.
Especially when you get into like video games, a lot of people who do voices in video games have acted in movies and stuff. Like they take a lot of times well-known actors and use them for video game voices. So
yeah. Okay.
So plot for X-Men Origins.
Is that all you wanted to say about Will.i.am? Was there somewhere else you were going with that, or were you?
Oh no, I
just
thought it was interesting that this was the first movie that he did. Mm. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't have much else to say about him.
I wonder. I do wonder how he even ended up on the cast list for that, because he was a member of the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure.
Did they disband?
Well, they're not a band right now. I think Will.i.am eventually ended up making. I know. I'm just saying, I don't know when, though. I know that he ended up doing solo stuff, but I don't. And because same with Fergie did. But I have no idea when. Probably not a whole long time after this movie came out.
I thought it might have been before. But. So, this movie, I believe, was the fourth live action X-Men movie to be made. I don't think they made one in between The Last Stand and X-Men Origins. So this was the backstory for Wolverine after they showed him on screen for the first three movies. And it had... Well, let's go through the plot first. So basically this is... it's Wolverine's backstory. So it's leading up to the things that the first three movies alluded to a lot. Like, there was a lot of stuff. I just watched the first three movies recently, so I don't know if this is what you're going to remember. But in those movies, Wolverine spends a lot of them trying to figure out his past because he loses his memory. His memory. He loses his memory.
Loses and his membrane.
Yeah, he does lose his membranes as well. But
insane in the membrane. Insane in the brain.
And so...
Insane in the brain.
And so, Mr. McGill likes that song. Anyways.
It's a good song.
Okay. Anyways, so the flashbacks, and there's a lot of flashbacks in the first three movies as he tries to recall his past. And a lot of those have to do with, like, Alkali Lake and the place where they, like, do the procedures on him, where Stryker does the procedures on him. So there's a lot of that in the first three. And so that's what they use this movie to kind of explore, is what led him to undergo that procedure, which is basically a revenge story. He is happily living in Montana, I think.
Canada.
Yep, Canada. I don't know. I thought it was Montana. Anyways, I could have sworn. Anyways, so he's happily living in Canada. Oh, it was the Rockies. Canadian Rockies.
In the Canadian Rockies, not the Montana Rockies.
I'm going to not embarrass myself on the internet. So he's in Canada and he's happily living with a chick and then.
Silver Fox.
Yeah, so his past is that he was part of a special team that William Stryker from the first three movies, a special team that William Stryker put together, and they did a lot of bad stuff, and him and his brother were both in it, which is Sabretooth. And then he gets out and he goes and he moves to the Rockies and he's happy and his life is perfect. He's a lumberjack and he has a hot wife who wears inappropriate clothes to school. Okay. And stop singing.
there's a Flight of the Conchords song about lumberjacks.
Well, that's actually not. That's pretty good. But, and so, wow, you're really just botching my plot summary, Karina. So, basically, Liev Schreiber, I mean, Sabretooth, shows up working with Stryker. And
otherwise known as Victor. I feel like it's easier to say Victor because that's what they call him in the movie, mostly.
Creed is an awesome last name.
True.
Especially if you're going to be a bad guy. So, working with Stryker, he, in quotations, kills Logan's wife, except she's in on it too, because she's working for them as well, and he gets really angry because she's dead, in quotations, and so...
Well, he thinks she's... He, and for all intents and purposes, for him, she is dead.
Yes. But, as the audience, you don't know that at that point either. Yeah. But, so Stryker reaches out to him, and he's like, hey, I can help you get revenge on...
Not just that he can help him get revenge, it's not even about that.
It's about protecting
initially, because... it's about protecting him because he tells him that other people like Wade Wilson and Bradley have gone or have been killed and they don't know who's doing it. And so he initially reaches out trying to say like, oh, this is for your protection.
So he's like, I can do something to you. It's the most pain any man will have ever undergone. And it's also, you'll get your revenge or whatever.
You'll have the tools you need.
Yeah. Anyways. And he's like, well, this is about protecting you, which it is. And so... he undergoes the procedure, and then he realizes that Stryker is working against him, which he should have seen coming a mile away. I think he kind of did, but he was too blinded by trying to get back as his brother for killing his wife. And so he kind of turns against both of them, and when it all boils down to is essentially he ends up fighting Weapon X. Weapon 11,
which is
basically Wade Wilson. The other plot that's going on is that Stryker is using him to is testing on him and a bunch of other mutants that they've been like tracking, and he's trying to build Weapon 11, which is Deadpool, and he's using basically the powers from all these other mutants for
Powers that he's been experimenting for a while, trying to find powers that can cohabitate within a single human body without destroying that body.
Which is what he's doing with Weapon 11. So, yeah. So, basically what it all boils down to is that he goes and he finds Stryker and he's going to kill him. And then he finds out that his wife is still alive and that she was working against him as well. So he gets really offended and he's going to walk away and just leave it all. And then he ends up fighting his brother for a little bit and then ends up fighting Deadpool as like the main boss battle. And he works with his brother. It's just like old times back in Nam and back in every other war. And
meanwhile, Professor X shows up to rescue the children.
Yep. And they kill Deadpool and Stryker is basically defeated and
Silver Fox dies anyway.
Yep. She dies. And which I like. Mm-hmm. And too many ands.
For real.
And basically he gets shot in the head with adamantium bullets and that ruins his memory.
Yeah. So. Which then puts you in the set where you need to be for all of the other X-Men movies.
Yeah.
The lengthiest, worst plot summary ever.
Well, excuse moi.
No.
You interrupted me a bunch of times.
I needed to sing the Lumberjack song.
Yeah. Also, I just don't do well with plots. I don't like explaining plots.
Well, then leave it to me next time. I'm much better at doing it in about two sentences.
Are. Yeah, I'm pretty bad at it. You can be the designated summarizer from now on, because yes! I'm really not that good at it.
I want that on a shirt, designated summarizer. I also want desirable disaster on a shirt.
You should get them both on the same shirt. One on the back, one on the front.
And there's the back of the shirt.
Well, I mean, designated disaster. Wait, what did
you say? No, desirable disaster.
That would be a designated summary of yourself, wouldn't it?
True. It's actually a line from a poem that a monk wrote about women.
What was it again? Desirable disaster?
Desirable disaster. It's one of the ways he describes women in that
truer
poem.
Truer words I've never been spoken.
Yeah, my friend Maddie and I, we decided we wanted on a shirt. Because, preach. So
who's the best performance in this movie?
I think it's obviously Hugh Jackman. I don't know if that was in question. Was it in question in your mind?
No, it wasn't actually it was for like a split second because I was just thinking about Dominic Monaghan and how much I like him. And I was like, man, I really love him. And so I was like, who's the best in this movie? And I was like, wait, it's obviously Hugh Jackman.
It's obviously not Dominic Monaghan. Not that he's bad, awesome. But he's just barely in this film.
Yeah, he really is.
He has two scenes.
That's one of the sins of this film, except he didn't have a good character either.
No, he doesn't have a good character. I mean, he's fine in the scenes that he's in, but they don't really give him anything important to do.
Also, I feel like they could have spent more time with the band of misfits or whatever when they're working for Stryker. Like, because I just feel like we didn't get to see, especially, what's his name in the movie? Dominic Monaghan.
It's something Bradley. I can't remember.
Bradley. We didn't get to see like
James
the full,
Bradley or something.
I don't know. We didn't get to see his powers like the
Chris Bradley.
He can basically control electricity, I guess.
It's not electricity. Is it maybe electricity?
Well, I don't know what else it would be because he operates the elevator. Yeah, he operates all the light bulbs.
I was just thinking maybe it was just where you can move things with your mind.
Telekinesis.
Telekinesis. All I could get was telepathy. That's not right because you're right. He was keeping the light bulb lit and that's not telekinesis. Yeah. So
I don't know if power over electricity is technically what it would be called. I think it's probably
he can just manipulate electrical fields, I guess,
It's probably something more scientific than electricity power. So.
Well, I don't know obviously neither of us are big into comic books, so I don't know if it's something that's more fleshed out if you were to read the comics.
Oh, I'm sure it is. That's all the comic books did was just flesh out the characters, so I'm sure there's plenty of stuff on him if you wanted to find it. It's just that he's not really the main character of the movie,
not even close.
And they killed him pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. He definitely isn't written well. Honestly, a lot of those supporting, I don't know what to call that group of people. I want to call them like Suicide Squad or something, but I don't really know what to call them. But that group that Stryker puts together, that Special Forces unit, they don't do a good job of making you feel like they're very connected as a team, which maybe they're not supposed to be
connected.
They're
definitely not supposed to be.
Okay, I guess maybe not connected as a team, but like, yeah, I agree with you that I think maybe they should have spent more time walking you through some more of what they did, because you really only see one mission they go on. You see, because Stryker goes and talks to Victor and Logan and recruits them. And then the next thing you know, they're on a plane on their way into, where are they, Nigeria or something?
Nambia? Yeah, Nigeria.
Lagos. They go into there to do one mission, and then that's all you see. You see the one mission that they go on. At the end of that, Logan splits and says he can't deal with it anymore. So they lead you to believe that they've done a lot of missions and maybe done some really terrible things, but you only get a very small glimpse of it. And I think that maybe it would be more impactful to the rest of the storyline if you're going to make it about how they need to hunt down and kill all the people on this team and how kind of the dynamics of the of Stryker and all of that work out the rest of the way.
I was going to say, I feel like this would be a lot more interesting if the if their band had become, if it had been about those characters and if they had become kind of split fighting against each other, where Leaf or Victor Kree or Sabretooth and Deadpool and Wolverine are working with Stryker initially, and then he undergoes the procedure or whatever. I don't know. Maybe not. But I just feel like I'm more interested in those characters and that setting than those characters dispersed and used, I don't know, ineffectively.
And I think it would have been more useful just to show, I mean, A, to give more background on, like, if you want me to believe that this team of people has done some really awful things and are just a group of terrible people, and that I need to see more of that. Because what they show me, the only reason that you have reason to believe that they are really, truly awful people is kind of because of the implications given to you right, by other things going on. They not because they actually really do anything that terrible on camera where you feel like they're worse.
This movie would have been good rated R, basically.
Yeah.
And the problem is they didn't want to do that because they want to keep appealing to the audiences that the first movies appealed to.
So I think that would be the first step, would be to spend a lot more time giving you the setup for who this team is. Give me less of, I don't even know what, of Logan living his life in Canada, and give me more going on extra missions, make it R-rated, give me something that's like gritty and makes me feel like, wow, this is a revolting group of people that they just have no morals and they will do whatever. Especially because Stryker is the person who is masterminding everything, and Logan is supposed to hate him, but they don't really give you a good reason to feel like you should hate him, because up until that point, the only person who's really done anything terrible is Victor. And Stryker hasn't stopped him, but Stryker is also, like, not the one. I mean, he's pulling the strings, but he's not the one doing, he's not actually the one getting his hands dirty most of the time. It's Victor and the other people. And then when Victor shows up, or excuse me, when Stryker shows up in Canada to try and recruit Logan again, he's acting like he detests him, which I believe that, you know, the character is supposed to, and that Stryker is supposed to be a very bad person. But at that point, you haven't really seen him do anything that seems to warrant that level of contempt from Logan. And so I think that that also could have been better, because Stryker ends up being kind of the ultimate bad guy, because obviously Victor and Logan end up teaming back up again at the end, kind of, and like talking about it ends with them being like, you know, Victor being saying that he's still going to be there for him to have his back, and then leaving. And so that's not even ultimately your villain. It's Stryker. But then Stryker, up until you find out about him being manipulative, which is about halfway through the film when they finish with the adamantium stuff, you don't really have a good reason to feel like he's the actual villain. Up until that point, you think it's Victor. And I don't think that...
Here's the problem.
It makes as much sense. Here's
the
problem. Way.
If we went the route that we're talking about, where it focuses more on the group as a whole and the stuff that they do, it becomes a lot less of a Wolverine origin story, I think.
Maybe. And I'm not saying you have to make the first half of the film about that or something. I just mean, I think they could have done it a little differently, just to give us a little better glimpse of who they were and a little bit better idea that Stryker's a really terrible person. Because I don't think you get that. And, like, obviously, once you've seen the movie once, or by the time you get about halfway through the film, you realize that. But I think that...
No, you already know that, because he's a pretty terrible person in the original trilogy, or like in the second movie.
I guess that's true. I was thinking, I was coming at it from just viewing this film. Maybe so, but...
And that's, well, so let's talk about that. So in X-Men 2000, the original X-Men, the Sabretooth was in it, which is the same character, same Sabretooth, I believe, that's in this movie. Totally different actors. Same with William Stryker. They use totally different actors.
Between... I don't remember. Who do they use in the... I can't visualize who it is.
I want to say John Bernthal, but I don't think that's right. I think it's just somebody that looks like John Bernthal. But...
Okay.
Anyways, he doesn't really look anything like the guy that they use in this one.
Yeah, I knew that. I just couldn't remember who it was.
And so, I don't know. I don't, but they're supposed to, the both Stryker and...
Well, obviously Stryker is supposed to be the same person.
Yes. And so
they never refer to Victor as Sabretooth in this, except for in the cast he's named Sabretooth. Nobody in the film calls him Sabretooth ever. They always call him Victor. So I'm not sure how close or how much of a connection
people... supposed to be Sabretooth, though.
I think it is, but it's kind of interesting that they don't go out of their way to make that a clear connection that this is Sabretooth. Like, he's never called that once in the film.
And that's the problem, is that in Wolverine's interactions with Sabretooth in the first movie...
Oh, no, you can't come in here. No! It's bad, but he can't come in. I thought it was Lizzie.
I'm lost. So, let's talk about the timeline.
Okay, X-Men. So we're done with the Stryker conversation. Wait, or did you have anything else you were talking about? With the Stryker-Sabretooth thing?
Oh, so in the first one, yeah, I got messed up. So in the first one, there are interactions between Sabretooth and Wolverine. I don't know if they're actually supposed to, I don't know if they're actually brothers in the comics, but it is not addressed that at all in the first movie, where his interactions with Sabretooth and all that, which they fight a lot, that does not address that at all. And so I feel like they're almost giving the original Sabretooth a complete wash in a way. And going for a new take on Sabretooth. But the problem that I'm running into is the timeline stuff. Because there is a split timeline, right? Isn't that what Days of Future Past does? It splits the timeline? Because I'm pretty sure that's why...
It does split the timeline, but I don't know if it splits it at this point. You know, it would be after this. Because he's got adamantium already when they go back to... He doesn't have bone claws. So it's post... It's in the 70s, but it's post adamantium fusion or whatever. Because he doesn't have bone claws when they go back.
But this doesn't take place that late.
What do you mean it doesn't take place that late? I'm talking about Days of Future Past. When they go back, he doesn't have bone claws. So that means that it takes place after he's already gotten adamantium. So any split in the timeline would take place after this, right? Because the split in the timeline is just that they prevent the program from going into effect.
I don't know. All I know is that...
You're the one who brought it up. You can't then say, oh, I don't know.
I shouldn't have brought up the X-Men timeline at all. We should have just let the elephant in the room just
stay the X-Men timeline is a fascinating thing, but you gotta know all the pieces you're working with if you're gonna go into that.
Well, also, like, a lot there. Let's address the fact that Patrick Stewart, Xavier... is walking in this movie, but he's a lot older than he is in First Class when he gets shot and is crippled.
They clearly tried to make him look younger, though.
My point is, when they made First Class, when he gets crippled, he's way 60s. Younger. Right, he's way younger than he is in this movie walking. So there is a split timeline.
I don't know.
And what I'm really wondering is, when they made First Class, were they must have been bearing that in mind. Like, they must have been building up to that, right? Because... when they made First Class and they crippled him at a young age, they'd already made this movie where he's walking and he's older.
Well, part of it is, it's kind of confusing. It's not even the same actor playing him at that point. Like, there's a pretty obvious difference. Like, even if they were trying to somewhat account for things, like, clearly you have Patrick Stewart playing him in this movie, and it's very obviously James McAvoy in the other ones. And so, even if they were trying to build up to something like this, I don't know if there was a lot of effort that went into trying to make that a seamless...
I don't know. It's just so weird.
Well, I mean, we've established, in conversations that we've had, not obviously on the podcast, but in conversations we've had, we've established that there are some issues with the way they did the casting and the timeline anyway, because of how much older... Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen are then Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy. But the movies, like, this movie takes place in the 70s, but X-Men First Class takes place in the 60s. There's only supposed to be, like, probably less than a 10-year...
This movie doesn't take place in the 70s, does it?
Yes, it does.
Really?
Yeah. Pretty sure it does. No, maybe not. Okay, now I have questions about how they did this set. Maybe they didn't mean for it to, but maybe it's just confusing because...
Maybe the X-Men timeline is confusing.
No, really. No. I mean within this movie. Because the last battle or like war they show them going into or like being a part of when it's just Victor and Logan, I believe is Vietnam. And that's when Stryker comes to find them. And they don't tell you, there's no indication given to show like, oh, this is this many years later when they go on that mission with them. So I had assumed that it was still, that it was pretty chronological. Like, okay, well, you know, they went to Vietnam, Victor started to just go crazy. And that's what was going on when he's like, starts attacking their own soldiers. And that was in Vietnam. And that then this, they, get approached by Stryker and then immediately join his team, and then that's right afterwards. So are you, because Stryker doesn't age in there, so are you saying that you think that then this would have taken place a lot later? Because I was under the impression that then this would have been the 70s.
Yeah, well, and also
because that also
is, also that when it fast forwards to the Canadian Rockies, like that life, that's also 6 years after all the events with Stryker's.
That's what I'm saying, is that's why I thought it was Vietnam, because Vietnam was in the 60s, right? That's what I was thinking. Vietnam's in the 60s, yeah. Which would mean that most of this movie then would take place in the 70s.
But I feel like, oh man, I don't know. I'm trying to look it up.
I really think it takes place in the 70s. I really think it takes place in the 70s. I don't know that they did a very good job making it clear, but I think that's when it has to, because if Vietnam is the last one that they go to, and this only takes place 6 years later, that when the events pick up in Canada is only 6 years later, that would mean that, I mean, latest you're talking like close to 1980. Which then means that's where I was running into the timeline thing with why it doesn't mesh well between the old movies and the new movies, because that would mean this movie takes place in, well, I mean, let's say latest like 1980. But that would mean that it's less than 20 years after the events of X-Men First Class, because those are in the late 60s, maybe mid-60s. I can't remember what the dates are on that one. It's in the 60s. That one's in the 60s. And so that would mean that this is, you know, like max 15 years later. And that means that your timeline is already really wonky with how much Charles and Eric have aged.
Okay.
In there. So that was where I was going with all of that. Like, it already is kind of weird that it, because it doesn't mesh well just between the actors that they picked. You've got guys in their late 20s, 30s playing them in the newer films, and guys that were in their 70s playing them in the older films. And even if you were going to assume a 20-year difference, you're going from a guy who's like, I mean, in X-Men First Class, Charles Xavier is a graduate student in college. He's like 25.
Well, that 26. Would make him. That would make him 65 or 66 in X-Men, the first one.
Yeah, but he seems a lot older than that. But then Eric is clear. I mean, like, Ian McKellen is clearly much older than 60 in those films.
Yeah, I guess
he's like old. He looks like he's pushing 80 in those movies. But he's not supposed to be that old.
Okay, so that's one of the things that messed me up. That's why I was thinking this movie took place later, because I forgot that the original X-Men movies took place starting around the 2000s era. I was thinking they took place a lot later than that. And so that's fine. Because I was thinking they took place a lot later, which means this movie would have had to take place a lot later as well. But since they actually took place in the early 2000s, sure, it's fine, I guess. But like,
because they say like the not so distant future or something, right? Yeah. Something.
But think, for example, that like Scott Summers is in this movie in high school, and he's in like the original X-Men movies, less than 30 years of age, probably maybe around 30. So
yeah, which would, well, even more so would then line up for this to be in the late 70s.
Yeah. Okay. Checks out. Probably enough of two amateurs talking about this.
We really
do not understand clearly.
Well, and it's not made very clear either in the films, obviously.
Right. I really want to say, I'm sure there's a great YouTube video out there that explains this all in great depth. Somebody who's
back when you and I went and decided we were going to watch through all of them, because it had been a while and we decided we were going to watch through all of them. After watching those, I did go and do some research, because we kind of ended up talking about, well, what does this mean for the, you know, how do we feel about the timeline split and everything after Days of Future Past? And, I could not find anything that was a great explanation of the of the timeline split or how the whole timeline works in X-Men. Basically, it's a lot of people with kind of similar to this where they're like, well, it could have gone like this, but it also could have gone like this. And some people have more compelling arguments than other people, but it's ultimately there's even as far as like how to watch the movies, there are people with conflicting ideas about, you know, where they fall chronologically.
Yeah.
And how to watch them and stuff like that. So it's kind of a mess, even among people that are far more dedicated to this franchise than we are. So it's just...
It's a mess.
It's a mess.
That's and they're still making movies. Yeah. And they're probably just going to keep making movies. So, which I'm okay with.
You think
with,
they're going to keep making X-Men movies?
Yeah.
Aren't they kind of running out of...
No.
Well, not that they're running out of comic book material, but I mean, are they running out of...
Well, I told you they were planning on making Gambit. I don't know if they still are. They were.
I have not heard anything about that.
Yeah, I haven't either. But there's still another one coming, isn't there? After Dark Phoenix?
Is there?
I think so. And I mean, they're making the New Mutants, so there's that.
They keep pushing the date back on that, though.
Are they? What's it at now?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying it's been pushed back a couple of times, so
yeah, I know.
I don't know if it's. I don't know if it's still coming out when they say it is.
I'm so excited for it. Last time I heard, I think it was April was the release date for it. So. But yeah, it started in like August was when it was supposed to come out or something like that. So it's definitely been pushed back further and further.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for it. I'm going to watch it, but for sure. I just don't know.
It's going to be a good theater movie.
I'm not sure if that bodes well for them making other movies if they have to keep pushing that one back.
No. And also the Dark Phoenix didn't do super well in theaters.
Yeah.
Like it did okay.
But not.
Yeah.
It wasn't a smashing success.
For sure not. No.
So
we'll see what happens with it. I'm excited for hoping that they make more movies because X-Men is just always it's almost like I can't do wrong for me. Like they obviously all the movies have their problems. This movie has a lot of problems, which we haven't really gotten into yet. But at the end of the day, I'm still going to like X-Men a lot.
Just oh, yeah.
Because it's X-Men.
Well,
and
it's
just naturally going to be something I like.
I love X-Men so much more than I like the Avengers or any of the atrocities committed in the DC universe. So
DC has some good movies, though.
DC is
very hit or miss.
Sure. DC has Wonder Woman, which was good. And I guess technically the Dark Knight movies are DC, but I don't think of them as DC because they're very much Christopher Nolan
movies.
But
they are not DC movies.
They're DC universe, sort of. Only because they use DC property. They don't fit anything else that goes into the DC. They are very much their own thing that is... They are not tied into anything else going on in the DC universe. Like, there is no overlap of characters. There is
no... Yeah, not in those films, I guess.
There's nothing.
It's just Batman's characters.
Because they're Christopher Nolan films, they're very different in just the way that they're filmed and but made even and everything like, than the style of any of the other DC movies.
Even, like, Shazam and Aquaman did pretty well in theaters. As compared to, like, Batman vs. Superman and Justice League and those movies, they have successful and unsuccessful movies. All Marvel movies are successful. That's the difference between Marvel and DC.
Well, that's because Marvel figured out how to do it, and DC is still struggling.
Yeah.
They cannot seem to figure out how to make a decent superhero
Which DC
movie.
Finally did make a couple of movies that were successful, which were Shazam and Aquaman.
But and Wonder
Shazam,
Woman. Aquaman, Wonder Woman was pretty successful.
Which I feel like they kind of got lucky with, because when they try to make serious movies like Wonder Woman, a lot of times they just fall flat on their face, like Batman versus Superman. And so with Shazam and Aquaman, they took like more of a comical, like stupid, like not really taking itself seriously. And those did a lot better. But the problem is you can't just keep making movies like that. Like
well,
people are going to get sick of that really quickly.
You can because Marvel's done quite a few of them.
No.
Iron Man movies don't take themselves seriously.
Okay, you don't know what I'm talking about. Like totally way different than that. Like the whole movie's just kind of a joke is what I mean.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like it's and the whole movie's kind of a joke, and the whole movie is just kind of joke after joke after joke. So,
well, Thor Ragnarok did that.
Thor Ragnarok did do that,
and Thor Ragnarok did it very well. But yeah, I guess.
But that's what I'm saying is you can't just keep making movies like that because people are going to get sick of that pretty quickly. I think, like it's funny. I think that dies a lot faster than other stuff.
It doesn't work as well for a superhero genre because you're not making comedies,
right? And you can't turn every superhero into a comedian. Like
no.
At that point, you're just going to start making people angry.
Well, especially if it's because, especially in something like the DC universe, where you're working with pre-established characters, and these are based on comic books, if you were creating something from scratch where you were just making up a brand new character that didn't have any history, yeah, you could keep making them comedians because it wouldn't matter. But if you're going to, if you're making it based on a character that people are already familiar with, yeah, you can't just decide, well, we're going to turn them into a comedian or we're just going to make this into something it's not, because then your fan base is expecting one thing, they're going to get something dramatically different, and that may not go over very well. So I think that's kind of why you wouldn't be able to do it in the DC case.
Back to the movie at hand. What are some things about this movie you didn't like?
I've already kind of gone over some of it. I think they could have structured the story a little bit differently. Not too dramatically. I don't think that it needed to be completely rewritten or something. I think for the most part it's fine, but that it would flow better and that I would be, I don't know, it's just that the story would work a little bit better if it had been structured slightly different. I have some issues with some of the special effects. If we're going to talk, like, the bathroom scene where he's testing out his claws and it looks like Saturday morning cartoon animation for his
How about the shot where the Chinese or the Asian guy just killed, Zero. Where Zero just killed the farmer.
Oh, and it goes through the bullet?
Yeah, and it's like, goes over the hills and it looks like a Attack of the Clones animation where it's terrible. Like the hills are like super green and
it looks like looks like you dived into a Windows desktop picture.
Yeah.
Is what it looks like.
The Windows 7 or Windows XP like rolling hills. Yeah, thing.
The classic. Yeah, that's kind of what it reminded me of.
Nailed
and just that shot reminded me of very low budget TV animation I've seen.
That was just bad. So I agree, definitely some cringy,
there's some bad, some poor editing, some poor special effects, some just kind of questionable cinematography. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I really don't like about this movie, because I do think I'm a kind of biased that maybe I would like this movie less if I didn't like the character Wolverine so much. Because this movie is...
You mean Hugh Jackman?
I like Hugh Jackman a lot. But separate from that, I really like the Wolverine character just over the course of all of the X-Men movies. I like him in all of them.
Yeah.
Regardless of kind of what
Coincidentally, Hugh Jackman plays him in all of them.
Coincidentally, yeah. But I mean, regardless of kind of what phase of being Wolverine he's in, because he goes through some very obvious stages of like... you know, very lone wolf to kind of getting into it to, you know, very much a leader.
Babysitting kids at school.
Kids at school. So there's some very obvious, distinct stages of Wolverine, and I like him in all of them. And I think that I like him and the way he interacts with the other characters in all of them, too. So I
think that might be because Hugh Jackman is just such a good actor.
Well, and to be fair, like, a lot of the other characters in the X-Men universe are well portrayed. I mean, there's in all of them, whether we're talking the new ones where you're acting alongside like James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender and some of those people, or we're talking, you know, Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen, there's a lot of really good actors that are in there. And so even when the storyline is poorly constructed or the cinematography is terrible, you have some pretty strong foundations in your actors. So regardless of who he's working with, I think it always goes pretty well. So I think that that's a lot of why I am maybe biased more than I would be if I watched this movie without knowing anything about X-Men, or if I didn't like X-Men movies that much and I just watched it maybe a little bit more objectively, I think I would have more issues with this movie. But because I like the universe and I like the story, like, you know, the overarching story of the X-Men in general, and because I really like Wolverine as a character and I like Hugh Jackman, I don't think I have as many issues with this movie as I probably should.
I agree with you on that, 100%. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
This movie, because a lot of people hate this movie and consider this movie an atrocity. Like, people who are, like, diehard comic book fans think that this movie was, like, total...
Well, it does diverge from the comics, doesn't it? At least on some things.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to speak for that because I don't know. But I know a lot of people who are kind of diehard X-Men fans really hate this movie because they feel like it really doesn't do an origin story for Wolverine justice. I don't know about that. But to me, I agree with you in the sense that I really love the world of X-Men and I really love the actors and the characters. and the X-Men world that this movie, and this movie's entertaining. There's no doubt about it. It's an entertaining movie.
Yeah, it's fun.
So, yeah, I could never hate, I could really never hate an X-Men movie anyways. Even The Last Stand, which is a pretty rough movie.
Or X2. X2's rough.
I actually like X2 a lot, but whatever.
Well, I like it too, but it's rough.
No, I think it's a good movie.
Oh,
but,
okay.
And I think The Last Stand is not a very good movie, but it's still, I'd make fun of it and stuff, but I would never turn down a chance to watch it again, I think, because it's an entertaining movie and I like it, so.
Yeah, I think that's something, and this is definitely a compliment, so I don't want this to sound like I'm downplaying the movies. I think that all of the X-Men movies, whether we're talking the original ones or the more current ones, are one of those, they all fall into that category of, like, I could watch that movie anytime. I would be, even if it's just turning it on in the background, of having it just being something. Because I know sometimes when people just turn stuff on in the background, it's because they don't want to have to think about it, or they're looking for something that's kind of like, you know, what WHM would call like a hangover movie or something where you don't need to pay attention and it's not very important and you're not really invested. Which, obviously, I am kind of invested in X-Men because I really like the universe that's been created there. But I think that it has that going for it in that it is both something that I like, I can have it on just in the background and still enjoy it, or it can be something that I actually sit down to actively watch any of them and I'm going to enjoy it.
Even the ones that aren't that good.
Even the ones that aren't good, that objectively you'd have to say this is not a good movie.
And that's the thing. Marvel, even their bad X-Men movies are still good movies.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Take like Voyage of the Dawn Treader, for example. I don't really ever want to see that movie again. I would be okay never watching that movie again. That's a prime example of how to ruin a series and make an actual bad movie out of a world. See, that's the thing. We were just saying that we like the X-Men world a lot, and that's why we like the movies that are bad in the X-Men series. I love the world of Narnia a lot too. Voyage of the Dawn Treader was so bad that I will never touch that movie again. So that's kind of the difference, that even the bad X-Men movies that they're making are still good, still entertaining, still fun to watch movies. And, you know, I never want to watch Voyage of the Dawn Treader again. I do want to watch The Last Stand.
And I think if you're going to talk about just comparing those two, because I think that's an interesting point, that we love Narnia, we grew up with it, read all the books multiple times, totally in love with that world and the characters and everything. Clearly, like, is it Walden Media that made this?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it's Walden Media.
Walden Media clearly botched those films, especially the second two. Like, the first one's okay, which we talked about some way before.
It's permissible.
Anyway, they clearly, beyond the shadow of a doubt, Voyage of the Dawn Treader is an atrocity. It's an abomination to...
A nail in the coffin, as it were.
For real. I mean, that was the final piece in finishing their go at those films. Because after that one, people were over it. And like you said, though, we love that world and we love those characters. But that is a terrible movie. And my love for Narnia does not do enough to counteract how bad that movie is.
Yeah, seriously.
And yet, this movie and X-Men Last Stand and some of those are bad movies as far as just how to make a movie. But it does work that I love the X-Men universe enough. And I think that that is more to do with the fact that I think that even when Marvel makes a bad movie, they're really good at, for the most part, still getting at the heart of what the story is about and who the characters are. And I think that what happened with Narnia is that they diverged from that and they decided to build their own story based on something. That they said, oh, we like these characters, we like this world, but now we're going to kind of do our own thing with it and we're going to rewrite them. I think that Marvel, even when they do an absolutely terrible job making a film, they still understand who the character is and what they're supposed to reflect. And they get that right. And even if everything else is bad, that's why you can still like their worst movies and enjoy them and still love them. Even if you can also objectively step back and say it was a terrible movie, is because the heart of who that character is, whoever is at the center of that story, doesn't change. And so I think that's why it works. Because
I can get behind that.
Yeah, I think because you still feel like this is Wolverine. This doesn't feel like they messed it up and that you're writing a different character or that it's somebody who's loosely based on Wolverine, but this is a new interpretation. Unlike Deadpool, who I don't read, again, I don't read comics, but in my limited experience with just what the comics are like, that this version of Deadpool is not the comic book Deadpool. This is something else that they wrote to be part of this movie. And that
maybe that's why they did the whole, or part of the reason that they decided to include the split timeline thing into the movies, into the live action movies, is so that they could go back and make Deadpool again in the other timeline, so that he could exist in both timelines and they don't have to nullify like this movie and what this movie does, but they can go make a Deadpool movie
with a different Deadpool. Which is interesting though, because at the end of Deadpool 2, he comes back and kills himself in this movie.
That just screws it up. Whatever.
And that's not the only thing. He messes with multiple X-Men movies in the end. You just need to watch Deadpool 2. It's so much better than the first one. Really? It really is. Like, the first one was good for the most part. I thought it was kind of weird in some points, but I liked the first one. The second one is miles better than the first one, which is weird because most of the time sequels are not as good. But everyone I know that has seen both agrees that the second one is far superior to the first. So
things, my turn, things that aren't very good about this movie. 20 minutes later. I think one of the biggest problems I have with this movie is all the dumb jokes in it. I feel like there's way too many dumb jokes in this movie. Like, I just feel like some of the characters are too dumb.
Just call me Blob.
Yeah, the Blob thing, and I felt like some of the characters were too dumb, and I felt like there were just too many dumb jokes, too many dumb parts, like where he's like slicing the fire escape when Gambit's on it, and he's
That's really bad.
He's just like slicing it, it's falling, and it's going for way too long.
I forgot how cringy that scene was until we were watching it, and I was like,
right, things like that, where it's okay to like, okay, maybe you animate that or whatever, and you make that, and then you look at the final product of him doing that, and you're like, you know, this really isn't that good, and you don't have to put it in. Like, it's okay that you experimented with that, and you're like, oh, let's try that and see what it's like, and then not put it in the final product because it's stupid, but. I don't know. I feel like that they made that mistake a lot with a lot of the characters and a lot of the choices they made.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point.
That's probably my biggest qualm with this movie. Once again, I like the other problems people have with it. I don't really have with it because I like the universe enough to turn a blind eye to maybe some of the sins that they made with the plot and Wolverine's origins.
You mentioned that people that are kind of diehard fans of the comics feel like this doesn't do justice to his origin story. Do you want to kind of go over what you mean by that, because I'm not real familiar with what it is that kind of just the collective Marvel fans feel about this movie. So what is it that they feel like it doesn't do justice to?
That I'm not really sure. I'd have to go do more digging to kind of figure that out. I just know this is just kind of me pulling from things I've read in the past, and so I don't remember the details. I just know that people that are fans of X-Men were not happy with this movie at all. So. For whatever reason. I don't know. So this Iron Man figurine is on this table because try and guess what movie role Hugh Jackman was offered in 2008. Yeah, seriously. Can you imagine if he had taken that instead of doing...
That wouldn't have even worked.
What do you mean?
Because...
Right. Then
he was already playing at that point, because the first X-Men movie he's in the first one is from 2000.
But in the movies, in the live-action movies, there is no connection between X-Men and the other Marvel stuff.
Everybody knows that they exist in the same universe. It would be really weird.
But it wouldn't actually mess anything up, because there is no connection between those two.
Also, can we just talk about how, as much as I love Hugh Jackman dearly, and I think he's a supremely talented actor, both on the stage and in film, it is like Iron Man, Tony Stark, and Robert Downey Jr. are the same person. Like, because the way that that character is written in the comic books is almost identical to the way that, like, just, and not even that he's just acting, like, that is who Robert Downey Jr. is. Like, his personality... It feels like a typecasting thing, and I cannot imagine, just for the way that character is written and the way he interacts with other characters in the Marvel universe, I cannot imagine Hugh Jackman playing that role. Like, I just don't think he fits.
Yeah,
that.
And I don't think anyone else could, especially after Robert Downey Jr.
Especially after, but it is hard for me to envision anybody else, but especially Hugh Jackman, because I feel And maybe it's because also you'd have this experience of him playing Wolverine, which is this very raw, emotional, untamed character, to then turn around and play the very suave, conceited, kind of dapper, conceited,
yeah,
and very tech-savvy, you know, sophisticated Iron Man, and then to have him also playing, like, Wolverine, which is this animalistic...
Yeah. Which I'm actually really glad he turned it down, not just because Robert Downey Jr. is so perfect for Iron Man, but because the reason he turned it down is because he wanted to work on this movie, and if he had taken that instead, I think we would have seen a lot less X-Men than we see now. I think there would have been a lot less X-Men films.
There'd either be a lot fewer X-Men films, or there would be just a significantly reduced Wolverine part in those films. Because, yeah. I mean, he's not the only character. The only one that you'd really not see would probably be the Wolverine, because that is only about him.
Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past, but Days of Future Past is also a lot about Mystique and...
It is, but he's still a main character in that movie.
Like, no, I know. First Class, I'm not saying he's not a main character in others. I'm saying that I think his part would just be reduced a lot, and that you would just see a lot less of him in those movies, because he's clearly, in all of the movies he's in all of the X-Men movies, he is a main character.
Yeah.
He's,
well, no.
Well, that's not true, I guess.
All of them, but...
And there's the one where he's only in it for one scene. But the rest of the... In every movie that he's actually in, he doesn't just play a supporting...
He's not in Apocalypse.
I said every movie that he's in.
Oh.
I took it back. So it's not every single X-Men movie. Every X-Men movie that he is actually in, if he is in it, like actually in it, not just... Which one is it that he has the cameo? That's just First Class. Yeah, he just has a cameo role in that one.
Yeah.
So I don't count that as him being in that. Every movie that he's in, though, he's a central character.
But
he's
that's my
not
point.
Ever...
He's been in... Let's see. It was after the original trilogy, it was this movie... And it was Days of Future Past, and it was the Wolverine, and Logan, at least those four. I don't think all four of those would have been made if he had gotten sucked into the other
MCU. Well, Logan, I don't think Logan would have gotten made, because by the time Logan got made, he'd be so deep into everything going on with, like,
right,
Iron Man
how many
3,
movies did...
and... Also, it's interesting to wonder, though, I don't know if Iron Man would have been as successful if he had played Iron Man, because I really don't think he would have captured the character as well. Like, I think that part of why Iron Man is so successful, because Iron Man, as I have, I don't remember if I listened to this on a podcast or read this somewhere, that the original Iron Man movie is really what kicked off the obsession with superhero movies and went, hey, we can make a superhero movie that's really fun and really cool and really
bombastic, popular.
Like, yeah, that we can do this in a way that people will love it.
Yeah.
Because that's what the first Iron Man movie did. And I'm not saying that it would have been bad if Hugh Jackman had played Iron Man, but I don't know if it would have really captured people's affection the way that it did because it was Robert Downey Jr. And I think he just plays that character so perfectly that you'd be hard pressed to find anybody else who could have done it well enough to really kick off the success of the Marvel franchise in
which
the same
for me
way.
Really tears me, because
as much as I love
that
Hugh Jackman,
world
but...
in that world where he plays Iron Man, there's less X-Men movies probably, but there also maybe aren't all of the... I wouldn't mind living in a world where a lot of these Marvel movies haven't been made. A lot of the MCU movies hadn't been made. That wouldn't really bother me all that much.
I have mixed feelings about that, because...
There are some really good ones, but there are some
really
bad
ones. My mixed feelings
are
because of this. Because some of the more recent ones, like Black Panther and Thor Ragnarok, are some of my favorite Marvel movies. But the reason they got made is because things have been so successful up to that point. So I don't think you can have one without the other.
Yeah, you gotta take the good with the bad, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think honestly we live probably in the best possible version of this timeline where Hugh Jackman is just Wolverine and Robert Downey Jr. took Iron Man and therefore both have been successful in their own right.
Yeah, I guess at the end of the day you don't have to watch movies you don't like, so.
Yeah, and I think that, like you said, because I think if we say, well, Hugh Jackman takes both roles, then we end up sacrificing something. We either sacrifice X-Men movies that we really like that were well done that we wouldn't get, or we sacrifice the success of the Marvel franchise potentially and not get
both.
Some of them.
I think
or
you both.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, or
you
both
get
would
both
be the third
or
option.
Lose both. So.
Yeah. I think if, I mean, best case scenario, if you'd taken both, would be that only one of them would have been really successful. And I think it probably would have been the X-Men stuff, because I just don't think he could have played Iron Man the same way.
I don't know. Like, we'll never know.
I just genuinely don't think he could have captured that character. I'm just even thinking along the lines of other roles he's played in movies, and I just really don't... He doesn't play anybody like that. Like, he tends to play more...
I think his role in Chappie is kind of more like that, where he plays kind of the bad guy in a way, where he has the bad guy mentality.
That makes him closer to Iron Man?
Yeah, because Iron Man's not a likable person.
Yes, he is, though.
No, he's not.
He's not... Okay.
I think, okay, he's what I'm saying likeable. Is, what I'm saying
he's not
is,
likable to the people he exists with in his world. What I'm he saying is likable from an outside perspective, viewing him as a character in a story he's
what
likable.
What I'm saying is, Hugh Jackman's character in Chappie, I think, has a lot of the qualities that Tony Stark has.
I don't think so.
I think it does.
No. See, Tony Stark, though, is, he's incredibly charismatic for all of his flaws and for how bad of a human being he is in the first Iron Man movie, because he is admittedly a very conceited, self-centered kind of dirtbag. Like, really, he's just kind of a douche to everybody in his life in the first one. And, like, there's no arguing with that. And, like, that's part of the Iron Man story arc, is that he grows up a lot and realizes that life is not about him. Like, he, you know... His character in Chappie is not charismatic. He's not likable at all.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he's really somebody that you just feel, even when you don't hate him in those scenes where you're just like, God, just give it a rest. Like, you're just annoyed with him all the time. There's nothing likable. He's not friendly. He's not funny. He's not, nobody gets along with him well in the story either. Like, he doesn't get along with anybody. He's obnoxious. He's constantly in people's face about stuff. I don't think he shares very many qualities with Iron Man at all in that movie. I think that's a bad comparison. I would say probably the closest you could get to, as far as movies I can think of that would be closest, would possibly be who he plays in The Prestige. But that's more refined. It's not as funny.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think that's the closest you get, because it's that more polished, like, he is charismatic in that. He's more charismatic. People, you know, he's good at putting on a show. I just really don't think he plays characters like that, though. Usually his characters are a little bit more, like, emotional and raw, either in a good way or a bad way. If you think about all the people he's played that I can think of in films, and Iron Man is not emotional at all.
Yeah.
At least not initially. He grows to develop emotions, but even then, for the people that you know he truly loves and cares about, whether that's Pepper or Peter Parker, he doesn't express it very much. And when he does, it's in a very, it's kind of in, you know, convoluted ways. And whereas, like, every character Hugh Jackman plays is either, you know, some of them are really good characters where he's a genuinely, like, you know, it's like Wolverine, where, you know, he's got a tortured past, but he's a good guy and he has a lot of emotions, but it's because he wants to do the right thing and he wants to make things right. Or you've got kind of the flip side, which is him in, like, Chappie, where he's very unhinged and he's just angry and bitter, and all of his emotion is kind of outpoured in, like, rage and revenge and spite. And so I think that those kind of characters don't mesh well with an Iron Man character, because Iron Man is very closed off and he's all about, you know, putting on a face and presenting himself as this kind of emotionless program to people, that he's cool and he's collected, you know, everything is just rolls right off him. And I don't think Hugh Jackman plays characters like that.
I wonder if maybe, though, if Hugh Jackman was actually, like, the main character in Chappie, like, if it was actually about him and not the other guy, maybe we'd see more of that. But I don't know. I'll give it to you. I'll give you the win. Okay. Because I think I agree with you ultimately.
Okay.
Like, I was just kind of tossing that out there, and I'll take it back now. I'll let you have it. So
thanks.
You want to go final consensuses?
Well, is there anything else you feel like we should address?
I like Dominic Monaghan.
You know, he's probably underutilized for the amount of talent you have just as him in him as an actor.
Yeah, he's a pretty good actor.
Yeah.
Although I don't think he has a very wide range. I think most of the stuff I've seen him in, he always plays kind of a quiet person. I don't think he has a wide range as an actor. I think he's a good actor, but I don't think he's super versatile.
Yeah, maybe. But still, you could agree that he's underutilized then. If he's a good actor and he had such a small part.
Yeah. I think Will.i.am lasted a lot longer than he should have.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that you should flip that. I think you should have those roles, or at least the significance of those roles should have been reversed, where you keep, you could leave them in their respective characters, but that Will.i.am should have been the one to get killed off sooner or to something like that, and that Dominic Monaghan should be the one that...
Or maybe put Gambit in the original Suicide Striker squad and make Bradley, whatever, the one that he meets later on.
And something like, something like this. Some kind of flipping things around a little bit because, he really doesn't do much.
And that could just be a bias just because I like him so much, but whatever.
But I would agree because I think that even in the little bit that you see of him in this film, he's a better actor than the Gambit guy. Not that he's bad, but I think that he's better. And so just in seeing that, he has such a small... Dominic Monaghan has such a small part, and yet I still think he does a better job in his very limited part than... I cannot think of his name. Something Kitsch. I think because he doesn't do as good of a job that maybe even that is just evidence that they could have moved things around and been better off. Not that he's bad, but just that it could have been better. As with many things in this movie.
Either
even if it's not atrocious, it could have been better.
Either way, regardless of which one it is, I think you get a character that you don't care about. Whether it's Gambit or whether it's Dominic Monaghan's character.
Well, this movie is full of characters you don't care about.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Because there are so many characters.
Which is why I want it to be about all of them and make me actually care about those characters more. And then when they die, so you'd
rather have it not be a backstory.
No, I think that you can make it a backstory about him. You just have to completely change the plot. But you can...
She'll focus on a different part of his backstory. Sure,
well, just give him a... I don't know.
You think so... Well, but then that gets into rewriting the entire comic book. Or not following
I don't know that this movie actually followed the comic book. That's one syllable book. All that much, anyways. So final consensus.
You want me to write it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
That's hard. Because like I said...
Well, give me a splanation first.
Objectively, it's a terrible movie. But subjectively, because I like the X-Men, I like this movie. If I had to recommend it or if I was talking to somebody who isn't as big of an X-Men fan as me, I guess I would give it, but I'd give it like a 6.5, probably. Because I think if you're not very invested in the X-Men, you won't really like it. Because if you aren't invested in the characters, the rest of the movie is not really good enough to stand on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I'd have to give it a 6.5. I mean, talking from a personal standpoint, I would give all of them like 7s, 8s. Maybe a few of them would get like 9s and 10s. But I think I think if I was talking to somebody who really likes X-Men, I would get a higher rating. Just because I would know that we would agree on some things that like we can look past this because we like these characters.
Right. I'm in your shoes there too. Because I give this movie an 8, but I actually don't. I give it a 6 because... This is a movie I will go back to again and 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 watch it a lot because I like it a lot and it's entertaining. But you have to look at it for what it is, which is kind of a disappointing, poorly made movie, which is really what it is. And it has a lot of problems and it has a lot of stupid stuff in it. And so I think you have to drop it back down to a 6 where it really kind of settles in at as far as being a movie.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately... For me, not ultimately, ultimately it's a 6, but for me, I think it's, it's hitting up in the closer to the 10s range because it's just a movie that I like and it's a world that I like and it's characters.
See, I think within the X-Men movies, it doesn't quite rank really, really high because even though I like it, it's definitely not as good as some of the other ones.
Which one does rank highest for you out of all of them?
I really like the very first X-Men movie.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot. I really like First Class.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like Apocalypse.
Yeah.
So I would say probably those three. I mean, without having seen them recently, I don't know if I can give you an exact ranking on where I'd put them. I'd say those would all score at least an 8, if not higher. Probably closer to like the 9s and 10s. Yeah. I don't know which one I would rank highest right now off the top of my head. I think this one would have to come in for me probably more in like the mid 7s to an 8 probably being the highest just because it definitely isn't my favorite X-Men movie, but I think if I'm not comparing them to any other, if I'm not, or I guess if I'm not comparing them just as a film, how are they compared to other films? I think, like you're saying, it would have to come in, like all of them would come in pretty high just because I really am invested in the franchise and yeah. I like the characters. So.
I am not as much of an Apocalypse fan. I don't know. That one doesn't do it for me as much. For me, it's Days of Future Past. That's probably my favorite one out of all of them.
I like them all. This is the problem. I like all of them.
And that's just what this...
We're not a problem.
That's just what this world does.
It makes it hard to rank them, though.
But that one and also X2. I like X2 a lot. X2 rates pretty highly for me. It's one of my favorites, so.
I think probably my least favorite is The Last Stand. Just because I think it's really dumb.
My least favorite might be... I think I'd have to watch it again before I would, you know, stand by this. But I think Apocalypse rates pretty low for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think Apocalypse and probably The Last Stand comes in pretty low as well. So.
Yeah, I think The Last Stand for me is the worst because not only am I not as invested in the story, but also, like, the editing and some of the other things in that movie are just so terrible that... it's just hard for me to really enjoy it as much as some of the other ones. But all that to say that I still really like it. And I would much rather watch, that being my least favorite X-Men movie, I would watch that 100 times in a row before I would watch a bunch of DC movies.
Yeah, or even other Marvel movies.
Marvel movies, yeah. So, I mean, totally. Really, it's all
actually
relative.
You know what's funny is that I just remembered that Ryan Reynolds is in Blade Trinity, which is also a Marvel movie.
He's also in a DC movie. Wait, it's DC. Oh, is it DC? Because he's Green Lantern.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which he gets around. He also, in the Deadpool, in the end of Deadpool, he goes and prevents himself from signing on as Green Lantern.
I just need to watch that second movie. That sounds really great.
It's really great. It's fantastic. It's very well done. But yeah, he goes back and messes with all kinds of stuff.
Did not the first one have Colossus in it?
It does have Colossus
in it. Because Colossus is in the original X-Men trilogy.
Yes, he is. Very differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's all screwed up. It's all so screwed up.
Well, and I guess part of what... I guess it kind of makes me sad a little bit is that I wish there was more... I'm trying to remember. I think he makes a joke about it in one of the Deadpool movies. Is that he can't, like... He doesn't get to interact with the major X-Men characters. He only gets to interact with these kind of minor, secondary, or like even tertiary X-Men characters. He doesn't get any of the cool ones. And like, oh, everybody's gone, huh? Like, these are the only people left at the mansion right now. Stuff like that. I don't remember how it's phrased. But basically, he makes kind of a joke about how he doesn't really get to interact with any of the major. And I think that's unfortunate because I would kind of like, because I think that obviously giving him a role, like a real role as Deadpool and not just this, I mean, really in this, he's kind of a tertiary character.
But that's the problem is that the character that they've made Deadpool can't be that character in the other, if they were to put him in X-Men movies, he can't be the same character he is because he's an R character. No, that's
well, okay, he's okay. An R character in the Deadpool movies. I thought you just meant like personality
wise. And that's what people like about him is the fact that he's an R character and he can't be an R character in an X-Men movie. Because they're not R movies, they're PG-13 movies. So.
Yeah. Although people really love him in the comic books and he's like that in all the comic books.
But I think if they tried to put him in a movie now, it would be a disappointment one way or the other. So.
Maybe. Although I saw something really funny that. I can't remember. I think it was probably like a Tumblr post or something. But that somebody on the internet was talking about how they really wanted to see Deadpool showing up in an X-Men movie so that it has to be a PG-13 movie. And how, because Deadpool breaks the fourth wall and everything, like he knows there can only be one F-word. And how... You know, or how
it'd be so great if somebody else stole it from
him. Yeah, and that was the point. And that was the point is that they wanted it to be that like Wolverine takes it from him.
Yeah,
and because they thought that would be hilarious, and I agree, it would be really funny because Deadpool clearly is allowed to break the fourth wall, and so there would be like he could even be talking about like, oh, can't use it yet, like not the right moment. I only get one. I gotta save it, and then Wolverine just casually uses it on something random. Yeah. He's like, no, that was the one that I got for this movie. Great, yeah. That would be so funny because you know that Wolverine would just do it to spite him too.
Yeah.
Like to be like, oh, especially this is important
in real
to
life.
You?
And in real life, like Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds have a great relationship.
Oh, that is even more so why I would love to see them in an actual movie together where they get to be like the Deadpool and the Wolverine that we've come to know and love, you know, between the Deadpool movies and then all the X-Men movies, because they have such a great off-screen, like, real life relationship that is very funny, and they joke with each other a lot, and they are they're both hilarious, that I think they would have really good chemistry in a movie together.
Oh, I'm sure they would.
I think it would be fantastic.
I think that time has passed now. I think
It has.
Hugh Jackman is done, completely done.
Wolverine is over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only way they would do that was if they went back and made something that happens before Logan.
Well, this is X-Men we're talking about. They're not exactly opposed
to jumping around. No, I know. They mess with the timeline all the time.
But I just think Hugh Jackman is done.
I think he is pretty much done. I mean, he's getting pretty old to play Wolverine, too. I mean, it's a pretty physical, like a physically demanding role, I think. And he's like in his 50s now.
He's getting up
there. Or he's about 50, something like that.
He's 50-something, I'm sure.
50-something. I mean, he's still in great shape. He still does, I mean, he does a lot of stage stuff. And he still dances. And he's very, he's still very athletic and taking good care of himself. But I think there's probably a big difference.
Past his prime. For sure.
Well, definitely, you know. Kind of like we talked about, like, Tom Cruise starting to get hurt doing his own stuff. Like, they're still doing well, but, they're getting to that point where it's like, okay, how much more stress can you really put your body through? And so, to me, it makes sense that he's kind of pursuing more of his stage career now because it's a little easier on your body. Like, you know, you have the luxury of it's a stage production, so people don't expect it to be edited and stuff. If it's something that requires something very physical, you have wires and stuff to assist you. And if it's, and you're just not going to put your body through the same kind of stress as you are trying to do all of your own stunts or even some stunts. I don't know how many he actually did, but just that there's a lot more activity in an X-Men film than there is in a stage production of anything. So it's understandable, but it is just disappointing because they are so funny off screen together that I think that would be, I would love to see it, even if it just was worked in as, like, part of a movie, even if it wasn't a primary part of a movie, just something worked into an X-Men movie where the two of them could be, have an interaction, because I think it would just be
like a cameo, like a duo.
Yeah, like a duo, some kind of, I think that it would just be really, you know, some cinematic gold there, because they're both really good actors, they both have great characters that are well-developed at this point, they have a history in the comic books. I know that they are, like, kind of at each other's throats all the time, if I remember correctly. Sorry if there's a comic book nerd listening and I'm getting this wrong. I apologize. It's not intentional. But at least
this would be the first time they'd be angry at us.
No, so. It wouldn't. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to slander them. I apologize. But as far as what I have seen, I think that they already kind of have that established relationship in the comic books. And then the fact that you have these two characters, these two actors who have a great off-screen relationship, that would all culminate in this really wonderfully dynamic, fabulous scene.
Don't rule it out, but I don't think we're gonna see it. Don't rule it out.
Probably not. So I'll just have to stick to enjoying them harassing each other on Twitter, which I enjoy.
But that was and forever will be X-Men Origins, directed by Gavin Hood, starring Hugh Jackman.
Will I am.
Well, mediocrely allowing Will I Am to be in this movie.
What even?
Co-starring Dominic Monaghan and some other people. Reach out to us on limitedtoeverything@gmail.com, spelled how you would spell all of those words with no spaces because it's an email. Talk to us about anything. Let us know you're listening, whatever. And you'll hear from us again.
Hopefully with Aaron next time.
Yep.
We out.